What a blessing, sir. Appreciate that. And here we are, Tuesday night already. And it's amazing how quickly revival can go through. But I'm so grateful, as was mentioned, we have just been so taken care of, from the place to stay to, I don't think we got a goodie basket. We got goodie cargo. Like it's a major shipment, and I think there's a pallet underneath it, and I'm not sure yet. We haven't gotten down that far, but we're making a dent on it, I promise you that. From that to just the kindness and then the meals, it's just been wonderful. And so I called church, said I'm thinking about moving my membership down here. And but then I talked to some of the members, and they said not everybody gets treated that way. So, you know, maybe it's better just to be a visitor. I don't know. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to go ahead and turn and stand, we're just going to look at one verse that we're going to focus in on. And I believe this is going to be a help for us. One of the things I love about revival at our place, and it's one of the things we pray for when we do have a meeting, is I want us to be challenged. You know, I don't just want to hear a message, but I want to know when we left what area of life I was challenged in. I mean, I don't want to leave any question. You know, if somebody says, what was the service about? Hopefully, we're not sitting here saying, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, you've probably heard the story of the guy that went to church and he went home and his wife didn't go. And she said, well, what was the message on? And he said, sin. He goes, well, what about it? He said, well, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's against it. And that's what he got out of that. Which we are against it, so there is that. But Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to notice verse 11. This was actually mentioned by Pastor earlier in the week. It talks about no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. But then the next verse is interesting to me because it says, wherefore? And so he just dealt with people who experienced chastening of some sort. It could have been from God. It could have been from a workplace. Either way, there's chastening that is there. And so then he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So right away, in verse 12, he deals with relationships. So be willing to help people. Be willing to lift people up. Verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. He's not talking about physically lame. He's talking about spiritually. So make sure you're walking straight so that you can help others to walk the way they're supposed to walk. So again, relationships. Verse 14, follow peace with who? All men. Again, relationships. So we can see a theme of relationships in these verses, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now again, dealing with relationships, we come to verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You cannot talk about bitterness without talking about relationships. And so he's dealing with these relationships, and then he says, I want you to be careful. Because in dealing with relationships, if you're not careful, bitterness will spring up. To which we can all say amen to that. So easily can happen. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message here tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for it being a living book and so practical, so applicable. And Lord, it's amazing that you gave us your word, and here we are in 2025, and yet it is still relevant and applicable in our lives. We thank you for that. And so with that, we ask that you will use your word to draw us closer to you and closer to others. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Thank you for the standing. I want to preach on something that, I mean, the topic is fairly obvious, but it's something that I have personally had to work through. And I would say the more that I have studied this subject from a biblical perspective, I would say I have dealt with it many times on a small scale. And I would say twice on a larger scale. And the thing about bitterness is very few people acknowledge that they are bitter until it is a big deal. But truth is, bitterness starts off a root. And so I think it would be good for all of us to say, maybe not to admit that it has happened, but to say there's a possibility that I have dealt with bitterness on a smaller scale many times throughout life. And because it starts off so small. And so the two times that I had to work through this bitterness on a larger scale, it was one time with a friend and one time with a family member. And of course, I wouldn't get into the details of that with you, but I can say from personal experience, bitterness is real. And everything that God says will happen through bitterness does happen through bitterness, because God cannot lie. And we will find that to be true. And I believe in verse number 15, the last part of this verse, I believe that the picture of bitterness is wrapped up perfectly in this verse. And there are four parts to it. There is a root. It springs up. It troubles you and eventually defiles you. I mean, you can take bitterness and you can watch this happen. And as I mentioned before, many times we don't want to call it bitterness until it reaches the defile phase. But all of this, it is a phase, a mark of bitterness as it grows. So there's a root, it springs up, it troubles me, and eventually defiles you. So I want to look first at the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. If we're going to talk about a root, we have to talk about a germination process. If there is a root that has started to grow and started to develop, then there is a germination process. Well, in order for that to happen, two things are required: a seed and soil. So before there can be a root of bitterness, there has to be a seed and there has to be soil. So let's break those down first. A seed of bitterness is very simple. It's hurt. The seed of bitterness is hurt. How many here think it's possible to go through life without hurt? That means bitterness is possible for everyone. And so the seed of bitterness is hurt. Now, don't miss this. Sometimes that hurt is intentional. But sometimes it is unintentional. And I know we don't like to think about this, but you live long enough, you come to find out sometimes the hurt is imagined. Somebody didn't actually say what I thought I heard them say. Somebody didn't actually feel about me the way I've spent the last 10 years thinking they felt about me. Somebody didn't really have a problem with my child when I took one event and assumed they had a problem with my child. And there wasn't anything truly there, but yet because to me it was hurt, it became a seed. And so the seed of bitterness is hurt. So then what is the soil? Where does this hurt have to go? The soil, and I would encourage you to write these down. They'll help you. The soil is a heart that harbors hostility. So you take a hurt. We've all been hurt at times and we brush it off. We never think about it again. Never comes up again. It never has a chance. There is a seed, there's hurt, but it never finds its way into soil. And so when there is a hurt, a seed, and that hurt gets into a heart that harbors hostility. Let me give you just a quick rundown. We know the verses when it talks about if we have aught against one another, we know we're supposed to go and have conversation with that person and try to get it restored. And if you can't, it's so important. Bring somebody with you and try to get things right. And if that doesn't work, bring it before the church. I mean, it's pretty serious that we are to be right with one another. If you bring a gift to an altar and realize you have a problem, go get it right before you come back. Relationships are extremely important. And so if I'm going to have a hurt and it's going to get into my heart, here's what we know. If it reaches a point that I can't let it go, if my brother here, I feel like he's done something against me and there's something between us, if I can't let it go, Scripture gives me a way to handle it. Go talk to him. But there is an instruction about relationships that happens before this. And that is, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. That means this, there are some things that should never reach a point that I need a conversation. Because I'm able to say, it's not a big deal. Or I know him, I know he doesn't have anything against me, he said something, fine, but we have a great relationship and we all have bad days, we all have rough nights, we all go through phases of life, I'm not going to hold this against him. And so in spiritual maturity, I do not allow the hurt, the seed, to get into a heart that is going to harbor hostility. Everybody follow along so far? So if we're going to talk about bitterness, there has to be a hurt, can be real, can be intentional, can be unintentional, can not even really be one. But to me, there is a hurt that is there, and it is in a heart that is harboring hostility. Now, before we get too far into this, I am not going to preach that you should never harbor hostility in your heart. Now, I'm not going to say that would be a true or false statement. But what I am going to say is I can understand that in some circumstances. A wife finds out her husband's been having an affair. That is a hurt that's going to settle in my heart. I think we can be realistic here, right? How about children, the hurt that children can go through watching a mom and dad go through an ugly divorce? Sometimes that can be a hurt that settles in the heart of a young person. I mean, there are instances, there are things, there are hurts that get into our heart. And I don't think that the right message, I think there's some truth to it, but I would be cautious in saying, don't let it bother you, don't let it bother you. Well, sometimes that's a hard statement. Don't let it bother you. And so it gets in our heart and it harbors that hostility. And so whether the reason is understandable or not, does not change anything. It doesn't matter if you agree that I ought to be hurt or not. It doesn't matter if you think it's ridiculous or not. It doesn't matter if you think it's not that big of a deal. If it is a hurt to them and it is in a heart that is harboring hostility, then you have the recipe for bitterness. So we have these two things. This is why bitterness is often towards someone that is or was close to us. Because nobody else has the ability to hurt us that much. If just some acquaintance says something, it means nothing. But if somebody I love says something, that hurts. If there's somebody that I've not spent much time with says something, big deal. But if it's somebody that I've invested my life into or invested time into or we've even shared a life together, now this hurts. And so in order for there to be bitterness, there almost has to be a close enough of a relationship that hurt is possible. You ever thought, much as a different subject, so put this in parentheses if you want. Have you ever realized that jealousy is often between two people that used to be good friends? When you get David and you get Saul, and it's those that used to be close, and all of a sudden, because there was a closeness, and then the way life goes, and all of a sudden one can become jealous of the other. There's something about the hurt that can be caused by those who at one time were close. And when we're talking about bitterness, this hurt is going to come from somebody, if I can say it this way, that can hurt me. There are some people, it doesn't matter what they say, it's not going to hurt. You're not really part of my world. I had some back in 2020, you walk into Walmart without a mask on, people said all sorts of things. And I can tell you how much it hurt if you want to ask me later. Not at all. Because it wasn't somebody that meant something to me. But interestingly enough, if there was somebody that I loved and cared for, if they would have come and talked to me and said the same things, I would have said, okay, wait a minute. Because this is somebody that means something to me. And so we see the root of bitterness. So then we look at the next part. Once there's a root, he tells us that it is going to springing up. This means once it gets down in my heart, it is now going to make its way to the outside. So it's in my heart, the root is there, and because the root is there, if a root is there, something's going to grow. And when you're talking about springing up, we are talking about growing. Let me put it this way. It no longer becomes just about one problem. Now everything that person does drives you crazy. I like to view it this way. There's a root of bitterness, and so you get a, if you can imagine, a tree trunk. Well, everything that person does becomes another branch. I can't believe they said that. Did you hear them talking? They're probably lying. With family members, it can be this. Mom asked them to bring macaroni and cheese to Thanksgiving. And what did they bring? They brought shells and cheese, just like them, to break the rules. And truth is, if there wasn't already a root, that wouldn't have bothered you one bit. Not one bit. Somebody at church bothers you and you get that root, and all of a sudden them walking in a little bit late to church just drives you crazy. And truth is, before, you'd have never thought anything about it. But because there's a root, there's a springing up. So now when I think about that person, I'm not just thinking about that one thing. Now every little thing they do is springing up into this tree of bitterness. Everything they say, everything they do, the way they walk, the way they... I'm pretty sure his tie was crooked. And just so in case there's anybody's here, I have a stain on my suit coat. I contemplated wearing a different one, but Solomon said nobody would notice, so I'll just point it out for you. He said, I have stains on my pants and nobody notices. I said, Solomon, they just don't say anything. There's a difference. So springing up implies growth. So like seed and soil requires water, it requires food, a seed of hurt requires more things that causes it to grow. Everything they say, everything they do, the way they say it, every comment, and then here's how crazy we are. We'll stay their friends on social media. And everything they do drives us crazy. And there's usually a husband or a wife saying, why do you even look? You know it's going to drive you crazy. But this is because when there is a seed in soil, it needs watered. And if that bitterness is going to stay there, we have to stay critical. We have to stay with a watchful eye. We have to keep adding branches to that tree that has grown. Let me give you, I believe, I wouldn't say this is absolute, but I believe one of the greatest pictures of what bitterness does in all of Scripture, and it's back in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want us to follow the spirit of Hannah. We know that Hannah is hurt because she's unable to have children. Which, by the way, a hurt that is harbored in your heart doesn't always have to be at the fault of somebody. And so here she's unable to have a child, and it is very obvious that it bothers her to the point, I want you to think about this. I'm going to point it out to you. There, some of the things that are in 1 Samuel chapter 1 have no reason to be there other than it's pointing out that this is bothering Hannah. It's the only reason it's there. And so in this first chapter here, it says there was a certain man of that place, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephratite. He had two wives. That's the first problem. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Penina, and Penina had children, but Hannah had none. Our introduction to them is stating the problem. This is our introduction. Because at this point, this is her identity. She has no children. It is her identity in her relationships, how she responds to others. It is everything that she is focused on is this hurt that is in her heart. So we see this seed of hurt. Now we're going to watch it spring up. We're going to see this hurt is going to be layered. Verse 3, notice this. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now you tell me why this next statement is there. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. What does that have to do with anything? Other than it's somebody else that has children. They have no role at this point. And yet, we're going to see this constantly. There's these little statements throughout this chapter that have nothing to do with anything other than our introduction to Hannah is she had no children. And so the first thing she notices when she gets there is, and as we get through this, the first thing we see in verse number 3 is that he has two sons that are there. So for Hannah, it's another branch that is springing. Look at verse number 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Well, it's his family. Why wouldn't he? They are his daughters. It's his wife. I mean, why would he not give them gifts? And yet, we see the emphasis put on here. And because there was nothing wrong with this, but for Hannah, seeing these other children get gifts was another reminder that she had none. Another reminder. Look at verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now there's actually an enemy that's given her a hard time for it. Somebody that is intentionally hurting her on top of it. This is a real thing in life. People can be struggling with something that really isn't related to somebody else. And yet, there can be those on the outside that use that to intentionally hurt. So intentional hurt is added to it. Well, then verse number 7, and as he did so year by year, every single year she sees the same thing. Every year, the children get the same thing. Every year, she notices every year this problem. It's over and over and over. And then in verse number 8, I love this, as typical would happen, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? First off, husbands, that's the wrong question. And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And then, from the bottom of, I believe he means this from the bottom of his heart. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? You know what he's saying? This is impacting you so much that I feel like I have no value to you because I'm not giving you children. So now, because this hurt is so deep, even the one who loves her, even the one who says, I'm better to you than 10 sons would be to you. But when it starts to grow, and some of you know this, when a hurt starts to grow, you don't really recognize the good people anymore. because your heart is so fixed on this growing tree from the root of bitterness. And so it continues to grow. Now, on their own, these are just passing moments. Went to the sons were there, big deal. It's an event, we got gifts for the kids, big deal. On their own, they're just passing moments. But when there's a root of bitterness, it's all part of the springing up. Every bit of it is recognized. Every bit of it is noticed. Every bit of it is seen. And so sometimes this is towards a person. Sometimes this is towards a group of people. There are people who have been hurt, and so therefore they have something against all people who claim to be Christian. They have something against every place that claims to be a church. So this can be towards an individual. It can be towards a group. Sometimes it's every area of life. Just bitterness has reached a point. Every area of life is just a struggle and it's constant discontentment. And so we use this phrase, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And many times in bitterness, it's not that the last thing is really that big of a deal. It's just that we've allowed so many little things to be piled on to that one initial hurt. And eventually we break. Whether it's emotionally, whether it's in our temper, with our words, our relationships. Sometimes we just close up and we just stay away from everybody and everything. That's not how God designed us. A root of bitterness springs up. And in fact, when this happens, the bitter person will generally have a ready list of hurts. Now, they're not going to share this with you, but they'll share it with their wife or their husband or whoever. What is your problem? Oh, they just drive me crazy. Whoa. I didn't know you had a checklist going. Well, truth is, you wouldn't if there wasn't that initial hurt that took root in a heart that was harboring hostility. And because there was a root, there was now a springing up, and a bunch of things that don't matter all of a sudden are confirmation in your heart that it's okay to be bitter towards them because look at all that's wrong with them. And it springs up and everything is noticeable. Well, then we notice the troubling of bitterness. Stay right here in 1 Samuel. The troubling of bitterness. So now everything, think about this. Now every little thing starts to trouble you just as much as the original seed did. It all starts to trouble you. You're not letting it go. It troubles you. And oftentimes it doesn't trouble them at all. And then that troubles us more. I don't know why they're so happy. They're so evil. And it troubles us. And so now I have this hurt and it's growing, it's springing. Everything they do starts to trouble me personally. I'm not just noticing it, but it starts to trouble me. And so now look at verse number five of 1 Samuel chapter 1. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. The worthy portion, because it's right after that, that he's saying, am I not better to thee? Think about this. The worthy portion is overshadowed by the trouble. All the goodness. You would have to be paid to say something good about them. And it'd have to be a pretty good check. I mean, the trouble overshadows any good, any positive, and the small hurt brings up the hurt that is felt by the original seed. So for Hannah, seeing Eli's sons brought up the hurt of having no children. Peninnah and her children getting a portion brought up the hurt of having not having children. And so you don't see the size of one problem, you see the size of a growing tree. That's what happens with bitterness. The troubling of bitterness. So then let's look at the defiling of bitterness. The word defiled means tainted or contaminated. In other words, it's reaching a point that it's impacting your spirit. It's reaching a point that it's impacting your walk with God. It's reaching a point that it's impacting your witness to others. It's reaching a point that it's impacting many areas of your life, but you're not going to see it because there's a big tree that's overtaken your life. And you might be able to put it aside when they're not around, but the very moment, this is a great tool. If you can hear their name and it stirs you wrong, then you've not forgiven them. And if you hearing their name brings up this big tree again in your life, then you're on the road to some serious bitterness. So look what this did to Hannah. Look at verse number 10. Because verse number 10 tells us how this impacted her. And she was in, what's the word? Bitterness of soul. It had reached the point now that it is starting to defile her. She's bitter. Some of you may have been asking this whole time, how do we know Hannah's bitter? Because they tell us. She's bitter about this. There's bitterness of soul. Look at verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a, what's the next two words? Sorrowful spirit. Look at verse number 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Here's what happened. All three of these are mentioned here. Bitterness of soul, sorrowful spirit, sad countenance. Body, soul, spirit. Everyone impacted by bitterness. Starts off just a seed. Unable to have children. But then starting to notice all these other people that have children. And the message isn't about this. I hope we're connecting the dots here. Whatever the issue is, whatever somebody said something to me, but it wasn't just that, and then this happened, and next thing you know, there's bitterness of soul, there's sorrow in your spirit, and your countenance is impacted when you're around them. Every bit of us. It defiles us. A root springs up, troubles you, and eventually defiles you. The obvious counsel here is, when you see it starting to trouble you, you better take care of it. You better take care. And if you can identify it before that, then take care of it then. So the solution, we know, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I just want you to see this. You know these verses. But Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse number 31 and 32. These are the instructions when it comes to bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the first thing he says, let all, what's the word? Bitterness. Now, when bitterness defiles you, you're going to experience a lot of the rest of this list. And wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. So here's what we know we're supposed to do with bitterness. We need to get rid of it. We know that. We know that we cannot live the Christian life the way we're supposed to and be bitter. And we cannot say, well, it's just towards that person. It doesn't impact the rest of my life. That is scripturally impossible. It will defile you. You may not want it to impact areas of your life, but that's not in your control. God has put it in place. Bitterness will bother you. You cannot be bitter towards somebody here and be what you're supposed to be spiritually somewhere else. It cannot happen. So then he says, not only, because I love those people, well, okay, I'm not bitter, but I don't have to be nice to them. Well, let's read verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Well, I imagine if you're going to start off this list by bitterness, you're going to have to include forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as... Is there like that thing about Scripture, you're like, man, I wish that wasn't in there. And it's always that line, you know, like God did for you. If we could take that out, I'd be such a happy person, you know. But then when we talk about forgiving, oh, well, I'll forgive them a little, and then we read this line. Well, I want you to do it as Christ hath forgiven you. Well, okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think you've ever done anything as a Christian that has hurt God? I know I have. Aren't you glad God doesn't get bitter? Aren't you glad He doesn't harbor that hostility? Aren't you glad? This is one of the great things about God. You know, the further you and I get from one another, the louder we have to speak to hear one another. But you realize it doesn't matter how far you've gotten from God. The most quiet of mentions of His name, and He hears you. He's ready for you. It's the father with the prodigal son who sees him coming at a distance. There's an anticipation that is there. And truth is, I think sometimes we don't want relationships restored because we're so bothered by it. We're so hurt. It hurts so deep. And I believe that in our sin nature, I think it takes times for God to work through us. And I don't want to use that as an excuse, but I want it to be clear. I'm not saying that if there's a hurt that's harbored hostility, it's created this tree of faults in their life, that you can just wake up tomorrow morning, chop the tree down, and go have coffee with them. I'm not even saying that's possible. But what I am saying is, if you're going to be the Christian that you want to be, that ought to be your goal. And here's what I have found about bitterness. All of the branches along the way, I just have to skip right by those. And I have to go back to that original seed. I have to. I have to go back to that original seed. And from that point on, that right there is when I need to cut the tree down. Everything that's happened since that moment, I need to forgive and forget. Because the only reason it bothered me was because of this hurt. And I understand, sometimes I think we're shocked that being spiritual requires spiritual maturity. But that's what this requires. It's saying, honestly, the only reason this bothered me was because of this hurt. I need to let that go. I need to let that go. But if you've ever chopped a tree down, here's what you learn. You can only chop so far. You can't chop the root. Not all the way. But here's the thing spiritually. There's not much I can do about the root of hurt. Because only God can take care of that. Only God can take care of that. So what is my role? My role is making sure nothing grows on top of that. My role is saying, I'm not going to let this turn to springing up. I'm not going to let this reach a point of troubling me. I preached a message one time on loving God by command. Is that possible? I mean, if your boss came to you and said, hey, you need to love your coworker, I'm like, okay. You can't command me to love. But yet we find biblical principle that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So the command to love is not an emotion. The command to love is to say to invest some treasures there, and by order of God, your love will start to grow there. And I believe with all my heart that bitterness is this way, through my own experiences, from what I find in Scripture, is if we just get down to the problem and say, God, I don't know what to do about the hurt. because it did hurt and does hurt. I don't know what to do about that. But I also know I don't want to walk around with a defiled soul, spirit, and countenance. So here's what I'm going to tell you, Lord, is I'm going to do my best with your help to let nothing grow on this hurt. I'm going to let nothing grow on it. And I'm going to ask you to help me with the hurt. Now, maybe there's a better answer. Your pastor is a Bible scholar, and he could say it tonight, and he could say it after I leave. Maybe there's a verse that says, here's actually what you do. From my experience, there are some things only God can do. And sometimes when it comes to a hurt, it's only God who can help that mend. So here's what I know. I know I don't want bitterness. I know I don't want a bitter soul, a sorrowful spirit, and a sad countenance. I know that. We come down to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I should have had you stay there, but you're in the right book, so go ahead and turn back. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of people cannot get past bitterness is because they can't let all the branches go. They just can't stop letting every little thing bother them. We come to 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 19, and we know that her root has been taken care of. So she has a child. They rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord and returned, and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was to come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Here's what we know. In these two verses, we don't have another mention of the gifts to the other children. We don't have another mention of the sons. It's almost like because the area of bitterness was taken care of, those other things were no longer a big deal. And that is exactly how bitterness works. Now, I'd like to say every bit of bitterness is solved by you getting your way. But that's just not how it works. So here's what we have to do. You have to identify the root. Here's the crazy part. I believe this exists. I believe there are some people who can't remember what the original root is. Now that I think about it, I'm not really sure why I don't like them. But I know I don't. Well, what's the root of this? Well, I don't know. Well, this is an easy solution then, isn't it? Hey, I've had a bad spirit toward you, and truth is, I don't even know why. Can we get over this? Yeah, I think that'd be great if we got over that. Give a handshake, give a hug, whatever. Your pastor really likes hugs. Give a hug. If you're visiting with us, he likes hugs from everybody. He'll be at the back door on your way out. Hopefully I'm still here Thursday night. Identify the root. You have to identify the root. And then number two, you've got to cut everything above the root. You've got to cut it out. You have to. All the stuff that's sprung up, you've got to say, I've got to cut that out. I have to eliminate it. And then you have to let the root die. It takes time for the root to die. But you can't keep watering it. Can't keep recognizing the negative. You got to let the root die, and I believe God has to do this. So what can we do to keep from becoming bitter? Well, prevent germination. If there's a hurt and it settles in your heart and you're saying, for some reason I'm having a hard time letting this go, there is a biblical order. Go talk to them. There's a reason that's in there. Go talk to them. Have you ever noticed how much harder it is to talk to them when there's 20 things you don't like than when there was just one thing that you had a problem with? If you can't let it go, live as much as life within you, live peaceably with all men. If you can let it go, let it go. If you're saying, man, this, I just, for some reason, I can't stop thinking about this, go talk to them. Do it the right way. Well, is it worth that? Yes, because the end result, if you don't, is a defiled soul, spirit, and body. You will not be the Christian you need to be. It is worth preventing the germination process. Don't let that turn into a heart that is harboring hostility. Make sure nothing attaches to it. If you do have a problem, don't let anything attach to it. In time, the root will die. I believe there are more problems with bitterness in our churches than we recognize. But here's why we don't recognize them. Not all of them have reached the defile you stage. Not at its full capacity, not its full potential. It's just enough that you're still able to be in church with them, but yet you have conversation about them after. There's just enough. It's just enough of a hurt that you'll sit next to them in church, but you're not about to let your children go sit by their children. Just enough. It's not to the point that I hate them, but it's enough we're not even close to best friends. And I'm not talking about a difference of personality, I'm saying an offense, a hurt, a bother. And I think a church gets great victory when everything just gets cut down to the root. We don't let anything add on to it, and eventually all those roots die. And boy, what great unity and peace there can be in the church at that point. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Relationships matter. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Relationships matter. Well, it doesn't really, it's not hindering anybody that I have a problem with them. Oh, yes, it is. It's in a process of bothering you. Let me ask it this way. Does anybody here think you have enough power to stop a process that God has put in place? Because God says it takes root, it springs up, it troubles you, defiles you. And there is nobody here that is strong enough to stop that process. Halfway. Well, it's springing up, but I won't let it trouble me. Yes, you will. God's already put it in place. Well, it troubles me, but I won't let it impact my spirit. Yes, you will. God put that order in place. And you're not strong enough to stop it.